Today's reading is from the book of Mark, chapter 1, beginning with verse 29. As soon as the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Word of God. Word of life.
You may be seated. Good morning. Once upon a time, there was a wise man who used to go to the ocean to do his writing. He had a habit of walking on the beach before he began his work. One day, as he was walking along the shore, he looked down the beach and saw a person moving about like a dancer. He smiled to himself at the thought of someone who had danced to the day, and so he walked faster to catch up. And as he got closer, he noticed that it was a young man and that what he was doing was not dancing at all. The young man was reaching down to the shore, picking up small objects and throwing them into the ocean. He came closer still and called out, "Good morning, may I ask you, what is it that you are doing?" The young man paused and looked up and replied, "Throwing starfish into the ocean." The somewhat startled wise man said, "I must ask then, why are you throwing starfish into the ocean?" To this, the young man replied, "The sun is up and the tide is going out. If I don't throw them in, they'll die." Upon hearing this, the wise man commented, "But young man, do you not realize that there are miles and miles of beach? There are starfish along every mile. You can't possibly make a difference." At this, the young man bent down, picked up yet another starfish, and threw it into the ocean. And as it met the water, he said, "It made a difference for that one." So goes the well-known starfish story by Lauren Isley, a story that witnesses to the power we all hold to touch life one starfish at a time. I can't think of a better image of hands healing one body at a time than a doctor carefully dressing her patient's wound. But that's quite a challenge in many parts of the world. And did you know that there's a group at Mount Olivet that is meeting in person again to roll bandages made from old bed sheets? These bandages are then sent to countries in Africa and Asia and Central America, places where gauze bandages and other medical equipment that we take for granted are scarce. I had no idea this group existed until last week. They call themselves the Holy Rollers. And the holy terrors, too. I'm told that tearing threadbare sheets into 3-inch strips and rolling them up is simple and satisfying work. But the impact of one bandage to that one wounded child and to that one healthcare worker in another country whose calling it is to heal is intimate and it's profound. Jesus is our great physician, and he models the same kind of intimate healing connection whenever he encounters someone with needs. In the flurry of his early public ministry, there are needs pressing against him wherever he goes, like that unending beach full of starfish. But in our reading this morning, he has moved toward just one. He has moved inside the home and bedside to heal Simon's mother-in-law, who's burning up with a fever, a very serious condition. And Mark's account is so tender. Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. This word lifted in the Greek is the same word that is used to say Jesus has risen from the dead, lifted up. Then the fever left her and she began to serve them. Never underestimate how the gospel of God's grace and mercy and healing can be proclaimed through the power of touch. There's a reason why we hold in our Lutheran tradition a rite of healing that includes the laying on of hands, and it just so happens that Mount Olivet is going to explore this practice during Lent. Simon's mother-in-law is healed. She is raised up. She is liberated from all that binds her, and now she is Christ for others. She moves towards service immediately, like it's the most natural reaction in the world to what has happened. And believe it or not, this woman is the first person in the Gospel of Mark to really embody this kind of ministry and discipleship that Jesus is all about. She might have been one lone starfish thrown back into the ocean, but when God is working, there is always a ripple effect, the mystery of which we can't always know. So sometime this week, I encourage you to recall a time in your life when you felt like Simon's mother-in-law must have felt in her moment with Jesus, so seen, so singled out, so loved, so forgiven, so cared for by another, that you felt healing inside or liberation inside. Who has been that person for you? What difference did they make in your life? In that moment, on that day, and the day after that, express your gratitude to them and to God. If you have a chance, if they're still living, give them a call, write them a note, or say a prayer. When we have been touched by the Spirit of Christ working through us and another, we are never the same. And what we bring forth into the world is never the same. So, on a side note, those of you with kids or grandkids or little people in your life might be familiar with the book series called Where's Waldo? Anyone? Waldo is this nerdy looking guy. He's got glasses, he's got a bright red and white straight outfit, and he's placed in these very elaborate, creative, detailed pictures. And so we have a lot of these books at home. On one page, Waldo might be swimming with the sea creatures, scuba divers, schools of fish. And on the next, he's gone underground into the tunnels, and there's warriors and snakes and monsters ready to gobble him up. Your job as a reader is to find Waldo on each page, and it is not easy. Hunting Jesus down in the book of Mark is a bit like Where's Waldo? Last week, Pastor Beth preached, and Jesus was in the synagogue in this very public place, calling out demons. Turn the page, and today he's healing tenderly in a private home. On the next page, he moves out to the front porch. A whole city of people is pressing into him in search of healing. Where will Jesus be next? Well, he goes to a deserted place to pray, of course, because Jesus knows, Jesus, the Son of God, knows that he, even he, needs to restore his spirit before he can be of use to anyone else. Flip the page one more time, and Jesus is moving on yet again, this time to another town altogether. Jesus is on the loose. He moves town by town, person by person, healing by healing, encounter by encounter, meal by meal, bandage by bandage, word by word. Even when Jesus is out proclaiming the word of God, preaching to the masses, I suspect his words land on individuals as if he was sitting at their private bedside, taking them by the hand and raising them to new life. So here is hope. When the fever pitch of this world and its problems feel overwhelming, when a path forward feels too big and hard to discern, remember the starfish and see what God can do with just one life. Amen.